Hello, you're listening to Think Rant, the podcast of people who don't get their views from the Sun or the Mail. Today is August the 18th, 2011, and I'm your host, John Stabler. Joining me this week are two of Wales' top comedians. Well, one of them anyway. First up, put your generic training montage on hold. You're allowed to say hello.
Hello.
And secondly, fresh from his sellout comedy roadshow that never left Cardiff, say hello to Trevor Williams.
Hey, what's up?
Right, let's see what we've got for you this week. I'm going to be introducing two new features, Spot the Fake and The Unwashed Masses.
Whoop, whoop.
I'll also be hoping to talk about rail fares, David Mabus, and an internet argument I had this week. Trevor, what have you got coming up?
I've got stories all about teenage exorcists with the brilliant scientific reporting styles of the Mail. And I've also got my own personal Jesus and a couple of Catholic stories.
Oh, great. And Steve, what have you got? And just quickly, I'll do the usual announcements. You can download previous episodes on iTunes or by visiting the audio archive on the blog at thinkrant.blogspot.com. As soon as I've finished with this, I'll upload it in its raw format.
Yeah. And but if you're listening to this off of a podcast and you think, why is it just like the live one? Why hasn't it been edited? Well, it's because the vibrational energies given out by edited podcasts can cause violent instability of the chakras. Apparently. A scientist told me that. It was a dead scientist, but...
No, it's because... Still, I trust Norwegian. It's because I'm lazy. No, I'm not lazy. It's because I got a life, Trev. I can't spend all day editing podcasts.
Chakras, man.
You have nothing else to do?
No, I do. I'm busy. Okay, so also on the blog, you can find details of how to listen to the show live every Thursday evening at 8 p.m. UK time. We're also always looking for feedback or hate mail. You can get in contact with us by emailing us using info@thinkrant.co.uk, tweeting us @thinkrant, or you can take part in the live show. Seriously now, you can do this. Honestly, we won't shout at you. You can take part by adding think.rant as a contact in Skype and sending us a message. And if we think you're interesting, we'll even call you back.
Wow.
Yeah. What
technology's amazing.
Technology is amazing now, so there's a fair chance that that might happen. So, anyway, I'm so excited.
And you just can't hide it?
Yeah.
And you're about to lose control?
Yeah.
Do you think you like it?
You don't do things by heart, do you? Yeah.
You really know how to just keep on pushing, you know? Right. So, this week, as I said, I've got two new features. So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to start with a feature.
Okay.
This feature is called Spot the Fake, and this is loosely related to the emergency feature I enacted last week when Trev was on holiday. How did that go, Trev?
That was fantastic. It was my favourite thing.
He's lying.
I think that we should do it again. No, I've never heard it anywhere else as well. It was the originality of it that I was most impressed with.
Yeah, okay, it was stolen. So what we've done, right, and we thought science was too narrow, because we don't just do science, we do all sorts of stuff. So it's just general, any news stories now, okay? And it's the same format, three stories, one of them's fake. Everyone knows how this works, so are you ready to play the game?
I'm ready.
Right, here we go. Spot the fake. News story number one. UK news. Statistics reveal that nursing is now the most course, beating medicine, law, psychology, and sports science. Okay. Story number two, US news. A man was entombed in a bank's chimney for 27 years before being discovered by a construction worker.
Alive?
Investigators are still speculating over the reason for his being there and why no calls for help or none. There were no calls for help or none were heard, because unfortunately, yes, he was dead. It was just bones and clothes. Yeah. Third story, more US news. An Illinois man is up on charges of reckless homicide for killing his friend while attempting to pierce his nose with a crossbow bolt. Police describe. Don't.
I want that to be true.
Police describe the alcohol-fueled exploit as a foolish attempt to replicate similar stunts recently shown on American TV. Politicians have been quick to condemn producers of these shows and a copycat culture. Okay, guys, so what are your feelings on each story, Steve?
On each story, I love that last story. I like Trevor on that to be true.
It's gotta be.
The second story I can actually believe as well. So for me, the one which is at the moment, you know, sounds like it's got bells is the first one.
Okay. So you're saying you're going to go with the first one?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, you're right. He's going for number one. Your turn, Trev.
Well, yeah, they all do have that annoying twattiness to it to give it a ring of truth. But I think the second one might be a bit of nonsense, inspired by having recently watched Gremlins or something.
Or Inside Man.
You know?
Sorry, what happened in Gremlins? I haven't seen Gremlins for ages.
Oh, Phoebe Cates' dad dressed up as Santa and got trapped in the...
In the chimney.
The chimney.
Okay. So you're going to go for number two.
And died. Yeah, number two for me.
Right, so Steve's going for number one, you're going for number two.
He's got a smug look on his face, Trev, which right. Must be number three.
No, no. Right, what I'm going to do is, I'll do them in order, okay? First one, news about statistics revealing nursing is now the most popular degree. It's true.
Terrible.
Yes.
But that's like giving people a proper career. I mean, like, you know, why aren't people doing, like, Mickey Mouse degrees, like sports science?
Yeah, well, there you
or
go.
Law.
Everyone's learning how to be a nurse. You know, our taxpayers' money has been wasted on training people to save lives and look after sick people. What the hell?
What is the world coming to?
Okay, the second one, a man entombed in a bank's chimney for 27 years before being discovered. Unfortunately, that's a true story.
I told you he was looking smug, Trev. I told you he was looking smug.
So can you believe it? The story I completely made up. I was originally going to go for a man shot his testicles off accidentally with a gun, but that's happened several times, so I thought I had to go for something really outlandish.
Yeah, but I reckon this has happened several times as well.
There's
rednecks.
Googled crossbow nose homicide, and I couldn't find anything. Right?
Yeah, whereas American shooting their balls off happens with such regularity that it barely even makes the news anymore.
But isn't there's a Darwin Award? It's not the Darwin Award, but there's another award where you take yourself out of the you stop yourself from breeding anymore. It's like a kind
yeah,
of
yeah. That is the Darwin Awards. Yeah.
Yeah. So
you either die before you reproduce, or you take away your capacity to do so.
Yeah. So, but no. Unfortunately, there was no one getting shot in the head at the crossbow world.
This man just shot. The idea was he shot his nose off. So even though that means technically he could procreate, who the hell with?
And I'd just like to say, under no circumstances should you try any of these things.
What, a degree in nursing?
No, you can try a degree in nursing. Please try a degree in nursing, but don't go and try and rob a bank through the chimney, and don't try and shoot your mate in the nose with a crossbow bolt. So, do you think that feature was successful, gentlemen?
I think it's rubbish. Bring back Essie, yeah.
Okay.
No, I like it. I like it.
Okay.
Yeah, I can do that again.
Right. It's better than Guess the Year, I think.
And it means you can get points now, doesn't it, you see? Because now it's 1 to you and 0-0 to me and Trevor.
Oh, yeah, cool. Yeah, cool. Right, excellent. Oh, well, I got a point then. Yes.
Why'd you have to tell him that?
Oh, Steve, that's brilliant. Okay, I'm now going to hand over to Trev, who's going to give us something to talk about.
Okay, well, yeah, like we've been talking about, I only just got back off holiday. So I'm going to blame the sheer unprofessionalism of my approach this evening on that. But this fantastic story just fell in my lap, the Mail Online. It's about 5 teenage girls, right? Oh, what? Oh, are we still?
John's fiddling. You mentioned 5 teenage girls. And John starts fiddling. Yeah.
But what these 5 teenage girls are doing is exorcisms. Wandering around America, like as if they're busting to have a TV show made about them. The Mail calls them, let's see, they are a new breed of qualified teenage demon slayers. Qualified.
Your heart out.
And this whole article carries on like as if this bullshit is true. There's no suggestion that there's a problem with it. There's a fella, an older fella in charge. It's kind of like a pervy Charlie's Angels. We have found that our female teenage exorcists are particularly effective at curing the possessed, says Reverend Larson, whose daughter Bryn is a supernaturally talented exorcist. How? How can you be a talented exorcist?
Well, surely someone who's good at exorcising people would be a talented exorcist.
But that's all bullshit. Please prove it. And that would be great.
I find your lack of faith disturbing, Trev.
Thank you. Okay. But they've got five signs of possession here, so they do go into a little bit of the mechanics of exorcism. Okay. Number one, feeling suicidal or self-harming.
Okay.
Number two, becoming sensitive to religious material. Three, harboring feelings of murder. Four, sickness or tiredness. And five, speaking in a foreign tongue.
Hola, ¿cómo está?
That's just talking nonsense.
Well, that's impressive.
And if your voice goes deep as well, so I guess I'm possessed. But these are signs of schizophrenia, surely.
Amongst other things, yeah.
Yeah. If somebody comes to them with these problems, they shouldn't start talking about biblical nonsense and waving crosses about and encouraging them.
So where is this taking place, Trev? Is this taking place in America or the UK or where?
Oh, in America. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Of course. Let's see, there's a quote from one of them saying, "I think Harry Potter and Twilight are instigators of evil. They nullify morality and just serve to hook people in with evil. I don't watch any television at all. I'm much too busy praying and fighting the devil." That's from a 19-year-old girl. Bless.
Oh, well, you know, as long as they feel that they're like, contributing something, that's the main thing.
There's a quote from a guy called Adam who apparently was helped by them. "I have suicidal thoughts and dreams of hurting others. I am fighting something deep within
me." Can I ask a question?
Your show.
How old is he? Is he about 19
this
as
guy
well?
Could be winding
and, you know,
him up.
Just did have feelings of suicide, and then suddenly five teenage girls appeared and. Suddenly everything was all right in the world again. They might have laid on hands, even.
You're very cynical, Steve.
Who, me?
Yeah. Sorry, carry on, Trev.
It says, "You forced me to look at the possibility of having a demon inside me." So Adam is now thinking about having a demon inside him. I don't know if that's a euphemism for something homosexual. I hope not. I don't want to make light of it, really, because Adam has probably got real problems. And they're just bullshitting him. And they've got pages and pages on the Mail Online about all this crap. And at no point are they called on it. They're saying it's basically the when you call for an exorcism, you expect like that old fella from the film in the 70s to arrive. You don't expect a team of five high-kicking girls.
Right, so I think they kind of updated it a bit more. You know, usually someone would turn up in a dog collar. Now they've got the Powerpuff Girls. I mean, at least they're trying to move with the times, yeah.
Pretty much.
So, but.
And they're really mean as well. They've got. There's a team of five of them, and they've got single photos of four of them and one group shot. And the group shot is in soft focus. And the one that they haven't got a single photo of. But she's less striking than the others. Mm.
It's funny you mention Ergo.
It's just clearly all PR.
It's funny you mention Ergo because I was watching the news first thing this morning and apparently no ugly girls had any A-levels this
no,
year.
No, they didn't. It's true.
Can you believe that? Only pretty girls jumping up and down, frolicking, you know, because that's what I did when I got my A-levels. I jumped up and down and frolicked.
Were you a pretty girl when you did your A-levels?
I was. It went downhill from there. So
it's been hard. The intervening years have been tough.
They have been very tough, especially on my larynx.
Yeah.
So yes. Anything else to add on that, Trev?
Well, it's a massive story. Feel free to go and read it for yourselves if you want to. It's a waste of your time if you go and try and look for any sense at all. It's just terrifying. They're clearly looking for some kind of weird spin-off. They want some kind of media thing.
Like their own TV series.
There'll be T-shirts. There'll be a cartoon. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but I agree. It's the whole thing is, I don't mind people reporting on it. Like, ha, check these girls out. But, you know, at least don't report it as like this is reality. You know, I'm thinking it's like saying I don't know.
Totally.
Talking about some RPG fans, you know, gamers or something, World of Warcraft enthusiasts, and they're dressed up as elves, and they're going, yeah, these people, you know, they're out there casting spells and turning into trees, and no, they're not really, it's just a game.
Well, yeah, watch your TVs for the show when it finally arrives, although I suspect it might be about a team of four teenage girls, or they'll just recast.
Yeah, they'll just recast one of them, she'll... Or, you know, maybe they'll, like, make her over or something like that. She'll be on Gok Wan. And, not that I agree that they should avoid Uggo. I think if you should have Uggos in TV to make it more realistic.
Absolutely.
I'm not against Uggos at all.
It's just as well that you'd have a hard time looking in the mirror in the morning.
Ooh. Okay. Right. You done on that, Trev?
I'm done.
Right. I'm now going to do our second feature.
Woohoo!
Okay. This is our new feature called The Unwashed Masses. And what this is I've actually gone to the Unwashed Masses and asked their thoughts on things. Okay?
Our survey said...
Not, you know, it's funny, you ask them for feedback about the podcast, no one gives a toss. You ask for their ill-informed opinion on any current affairs, everyone wants to give their two cents. So what I did was I put together a survey. I'll be doing this every week now.
The survey, right.
Yeah, so...
Oh, thank God. I was panicking for a second then. When you said about unwashed masses, I thought, shit, I washed my masses just like... a couple of minutes before I came on here.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I find that even odder than not washing them for some reason.
They're mine, and I'll wash them as fast as I like.
He had been watching 5 Teenage Exorcist Girls. What can I say?
Okay. So anyway, I put together 5 questions to go on a survey, which I put on various social media. So obviously these results may be slightly biased by the kinds of people I hang around with on social media. However, I was quite pleased to see...
What, the right-wing Nazis?
No, but that's what I mean, is it appears that some right-wing Nazis made it in there anyway. So,
well, that's fair, that's society.
So we've got a larger spread. So we're encouraging people, if you're listening to this now, check the blog weekly or, you know, join the Facebook group and then you'll know when the survey's available because we do want your opinion, no matter how wrong you are. Okay. So I'm going to now reveal the results of the survey, and we'll get to talk about it. So, first question, did you do the survey, Trevor?
Of course, yeah.
Good, good. Steve and I both did, just so it was fair.
So there's at least 3 answers to...
No.
And one that's really right wing.
I'm not going to say how many people answered it, because I want to try and keep that on the quiet. We have had a significant number of people... basically, you know, it's statistically significant. Okay. So, the first question. How many people can you sleep with in your lifetime before being considered a slut? Now, what did you go for, Trev?
I don't have it in front of me, but the it doesn't make a bit of difference.
Sorry, well, yeah, I'll just read them out quickly. 0, celibacy is the way forward. 1, save yourself for that special. 1, 2 to 5, try before you buy, but be fussy. And then 5 to 10, 10 to 20, 20 to 50, 50 plus, and at the end then as many as you like, limits for Puritans and prudes. What did you put? You went for?
Well, obviously with my lifestyle, number 1 would be most appropriate. However, I opted for it doesn't make a difference.
Okay, that's fine. The majority went with what we went with.
Yeah.
Which was whatever you want. Okay. Now, I don't know if that's because they're a bunch of hedonistic, sex-obsessed filth lovers, or because they believe that, as I do, artificial social limits on the number of sexual partners are a result of a pervasive feeling of guilt about sex being enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
That's just in my opinion. I'm not a psychologist.
That sounds like a good enough reason to me.
It does. So,
I guess from my point of view, it's kind of similar, although I wouldn't say it quite as eloquently as that.
Yeah, well, I did write it down. It just didn't come off the top of my head.
No, I know, I realise that. No, my thought, just purely is that it's kind of, it's subjective, isn't it, you know? Who has a right to call you a slut, you know? And how do you know? How do you judge someone? You could have someone who, you know, maybe does dress provocatively and... does go out and quite flaunt it and makes a big point of having slept with, you know, however many people. Or you could be someone who just, you know, does it all in the quiet almost then and just, you know, has had multiple sexual partners but doesn't brag about it, doesn't shout about it.
Do you think maybe...
You think the one was a slut but the other one might have slept with more people.
So do you think the slut label is someone who's not necessarily how many people you sleep with but how no, brash you are with the advertising?
I don't like the term slut, you know. I just... It's...
Do you think any? Well, if you believe that you people should be able to just do, you know, sleep with many as they want and they shouldn't be judged for it,
yeah.
Does that mean that the word slut becomes meaningless to you because you don't believe anyone actually fits that criteria?
Yeah,
because,
I think so.
Okay. No, that's... Well, I agree with you then. All three of us said that it should be as many as you like because we think that guilt about sex is this artificial social constraint and we think it's a load of bollocks. But just to give you an idea of what the results were, believe it or not, nobody went for celibacy.
Really?
No. No one went for save yourself for the special one either. Yeah, yeah. You'd think there'd be at least maybe one, you know. So no. There were 3.6% said try before you buy, but be fussy. Yeah. Then 3.6% again, 5 to 10. 14.3% said 10 to 20. 10.7% said 20 to 50. No one said 50+. But then 67.9% agreed with us, you know, you should be able to shag as much as you want and not feel bad about it. So, are you shocked by those statistics, Steve? No?
Not at all.
Trev?
Well, no, I hope that everybody took that to mean, what do you think everybody else should behave like? In which case, you know, that's none of my business. You have sex with as many partners as you feel happy doing.
Right. Okay. Well, that.
And if that's going to be one, then that's fine.
Okay, and then we moved on to should prostitution be legalized and regulated? And as I said to Steve, basically I put the word regulated in there because I think it is important that it does need to be regulated, you know, for trafficking and coercion reasons. 92.9% people said yes, it should. Only 7.1% saying no. So I was glad of that result.
That's a great result.
Yeah. Right, the next one. Okay, number three, do you believe in ghosts and spirits? Now,
I think this is going to have a bit more of a split opinion.
You're right. It was yes, 10.7%, no, 89.3%. Now, I mean, basically, I'm just thinking, really? You know, I'm just gutted that it's anything but 0%. But, yeah, so there you go. So people need to understand that there's a difference between demonstrable facts and forces about nature and brain farts.
And demonsters.
And brain farts being interpreted as being supernatural phenomena. So, how do you feel about that? You know, nearly 10% of people are going with the ghosts.
You know, people believe in things, and who am I to criticize somebody for their belief? I don't necessarily agree with it. I don't hold with that opinion, but, you know.
Well, who else, you know, I think everyone's entitled to criticise other people's opinions, aren't they?
Oh, you're entitled to criticise them, but I don't want to.
Okay, fair enough.
Trev? Maybe they're just saying that they choose that's what they want to believe in, in which case, yeah, I've got no problem. You have whatever crazy beliefs you want. If you had said anything in that survey about Santa, then you and I would have had words. You know, because I choose that.
Okay, fair enough.
I hold quite tightly to a couple of crazy beliefs.
Yeah, one of them's free will, but we won't go there.
Easy.
The next one is this. Now, this is the most important question, I thought. Favourite fruit to eat as a snack? Now, okay, before I reveal the results, what did you go with, Steve?
I can't remember.
Well, the choices were apple, banana, orange, or, you know, similar like clementines, tangerines,
I believe grapes. I went for grapes.
You went for grapes.
I believe so, yeah.
Trev, how did you vote?
Apple.
Apple, okay.
Love apples.
Now, this really freaked me out, okay, because banana won with 35.7%. Can you believe it? Second was apple, 32.1%. Then grapes, 21.4%, and then 7%. Now, I didn't think banana, to be honest. And banana took a lead very early on.
See, I can see that because where I work, we have free fruit for the office.
Oh, that's nice.
And it comes in fresh every morning. And the first thing to go every single day without fail is bananas. And the stuff which is left at the end of the day is oranges. The derivative type.
That's so interesting. What I should have asked you is not just what did you pick, but what would you, you know, what do you think would be the most popular, but never mind. Yeah, so, you know, you'd have probably guessed banana, would you? Mm. Okay.
Hang on. You work in an office, do you?
Yes, I do.
Where people use keyboards. And they give them the choice of having an orange.
Yep.
Well, I think it's quite wise there that everybody's left the orange. It just means that you're not sharing an office with complete fucking idiots.
Sorry, am I...
I'd like to make my keyboard sticky.
Oh, yeah, but that can happen.
You can peel an orange and get your hands sticky, Trev.
Like a clementine, your hands stay fine, don't they?
Yeah. You know, you've got to be an adult, Trev, that's all, you know.
Yeah, maybe, or maybe use a knife or another tool.
Yeah, you say that like as if it's not a massive ask. Come on, you've met me.
Okay, and it was the...
That's right, you're not allowed to use knives, you, Trev.
A green spork, I take it everywhere.
And finally, question 5. Should rioters and their families be evicted from their homes or lose benefits on conviction?
Hell yeah!
So this was the topic.
Oh, this was the topical question.
Now, I'm kind of upset by the result of this, to be honest, because
we're the only three to say no.
No. Okay, I'll give you the figures. Right, the eyes to evicting those chavs. 21.4%.
Oh, so 21.4% of people are idiots.
So yeah, 78.6%. That's us.
Fact.
Agreed with us. Fact. We are awesome. There in the question, should rioters and their families? Okay, I tried to give people a clue about the consequences of what's going to happen, and they still decided that, you know, 21.4% of our survey. Decided, no, you know, chuck out these families on the streets, sod them. You know, it's their fault for nicking a bottle of water from a supermarket.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, people, I understand your anger at people involved in the riot, but think about it. Just think for a minute about what you're suggesting.
Yeah. Because I'm sure turfing people on the streets is going to reduce crime.
Well, obviously, yeah. Let's make several thousand people homeless and add to our homeless problem. And our drugs problem and whatever other social problem can be linked in with the unfortunate cases of homelessness.
Trev?
Well, I know, yeah, Cameron's been making a big deal about these kinds of stupid ideas. I think he came out with them before his advisors could say, shut up, Dave, shut up! Because I've got this crazy idea that maybe benefits, entitlement and eligibility should be based on need.
Mm.
And I think it's a lot of people who've got no idea, who read the Daily Mail, who listen to Jeremy Clarkson when he has a rant.
Pinko liberal.
And they think they're all getting more money. You know, I haven't had drugs this week, can I have some more money? Yeah, sure, I've loads, that's fine.
What's that? You've just popped out another Sprog. Oh, here's a mansion.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like this cartoon. And not being funny, but if you critique any... like right wing policy or something, they blame you for attacking a caricature or something like that. But this is just completely ridiculous.
It is completely ridiculous. But the thing is, I think this is I think this is how the government is actually setting its policy. I think what they're doing is they don't actually have any idea. They don't have a clue, this government. And what they're doing is they're making these little suggestions to see which way the public are going to go. And they go, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, the public didn't like that. You turn on that one, boys.
What they did when they were trying to sell off all the forests.
Yeah, let's change our mind on this one. This was not very popular. Yeah, okay. Bang up rioters. Yeah, brilliant idea. Let's bang up the rioters, guys. And that just seems to be they're writing their policy. It's all done on public popularity. It's
well,
ridiculous.
You can't argue that they're not being democratic.
No, but it's just like the X Factor, isn't there?
It's X Factor democracy rather than.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, okay.
Well, given that we're on this subject now, I've got a very brief little rant that I wrote today, because they were pissing me off so much. The way that the Tories and the Liberals, they're all saying things like they're going to ask the rioters why they did it, or they just call it mindless criminality and we should all hate them. But it was very mindful, it was structured criminality, because it was done by bloody criminals, all that looting. The first night was a riot that got sparked by a protest. But the reason they felt that the criminals felt they could get away with looting was because of the unlawful killing of Mark Duggan was the last straw to the largely law-abiding population, us, who now can't trust the police because of their institutionalized racism and their ordered trough of backhanding with News International. I'm a big fan of the police, and I appreciate that lots of them probably aren't corrupt, I would imagine. But I got to say my faith took a massive hit when they had another... oh well, never mind, we only shot a black fella attitude that clearly sparked off the protest. And the politicians were there. Corruption, their expenses fiddling, the media manipulation. Lying, we used to call it when I was a kid, but I think it's called spin now. They're just as culpable as the looters, in my opinion. Only we're the ones who bought them a widescreen TV. We, the largely law-abiding population, are justifiably sick of disappointment in every single institution we're supposed to be able to rely on. And the hypocritical blaming of every bugger they fancy. And David Cameron bringing the word to downtown South Central Oxfordshire to sort out the gang culture earlier in the week is the most cowardly, laughable move I've seen from politicians since the last time the Tories were in. Only this time, the thing that the Tories are in is the Liberal Party, and they're up to their guts. I'm done.
Did you read on the way home tonight, Hitchens published on the riots in Slate? Did you see that?
Which Hitchens?
Christopher.
Oh, no.
Okay.
So worth.
Yeah, that was my thought. Yeah.
Basically, the his deal was this. It's what you said not so long ago, Trev, about harking back to, you know, old things weren't so bad, and his point was, it's always been like this. You know, it's always ready to bubble over. You know, people are just naturally violent. And he framed it as there was no golden age. You know, back in the Victorian days, there was, you know, just as much crime, if not more. You know, poverty was worse. Think about it. Oliver Twist was introduced to a gang.
Yeah.
You know, just because the gangs now are associated with ethnical groups doesn't make any difference. They're still gangs.
Black culture, John.
No.
It's black culture. Whites have become black culture.
Oh, don't even. Okay. Do you seriously want to do that?
I don't think we need to do it, do we? You know, it's a bollocks.
Wow. What a muppet that guy was. In case you didn't know what we were talking about Starkey, who's stark raving mad.
Yeah.
Who's decided that being black is absolutely nothing to do with your skin colour. It's how you act. And so, by definition, all black people are criminals.
And basically, black culture is bereft of any good things at all, and it's the dearth of our society, and will be the end of everything good that we believe in.
It's almost like taking the no true Scotsman fallacy and going really, really far with it. So it's not just like, you can't be white because you're a criminal, but not just that, you must be black for being a criminal. And I'm like, really?
That's a nonsense.
So, yeah. What a dick.
Why is a professor and expert of Tudor history commenting on modern day riots?
Was there no riots in the Tudor time? I bet you there were.
No, but I mean, actually, the riots would have been of... Right, sorry, why haven't we got a contemporary historian commenting on it?
Okay, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Trev, you got any bile to add to the fire? Go on, then.
Well, I just want to tell one more thing, because this was an absolutely... This is like a red letter day. This is an absolute memorable day for me. It ties in very much with what you were saying earlier, Trev, about the rioters and the politicians and what have you.
Yeah.
This week, there was an article in The Telegraph. The Telegraph, no less, which condemns, exactly as Trev was saying, the politicians and the example that they set, saying they're no better than the people out looting and rioting on the street. Peter Oborne in The Telegraph this week. The moral decay of our society is as bad at the top as it is at the bottom. And he says, basically, what is the difference between, you know, an MP stealing 40-odd grand or plus from the taxpayer, or some teenager looting a pair of 40-quid trainers?
Well, I'd say the MP's worse because he's nicked more.
Nicked more. But at the end of the day, they've both committed theft.
Yeah.
Brilliant article in The Telegraph by Peter Oborne. I suggest you read it. Very, very good.
He's probably going to be looking for a job soon.
Absolute red letter day. I've never, ever thought those words would leave my mouth, that there was an article in The Telegraph that I agreed with.
Well, you know, don't sweat it too bad. It wasn't in the mail.
No, exactly. No, what was in the mail was utter bollocks and typical right-wing bile.
Oh, it wasn't Melanie Phillips again.
It was Melanie Phillips again. Yeah. Utter trash.
Do your Jesus story, Trev.
Okay. Oh, it's not a story. But while I was in Saundersfoot, I saw a grow your own Jesus. So I bought it. I'm so chuffed. He is always there for you. He will never judge you, but always love you. His love is unending. He's a forgiver. And he can grow up to 600% of his size. He's currently 38 millimeters. I haven't put him in water yet. I'm about to do it now. Okay.
Trev, what you need to do here is you need to take photos each week so we can put together, you know, a montage and show
that
you've
got to go on the blog.
Stop photo.
It should only take.
Of Jesus growing.
Cool. How long is it going to take?
It should only take 3 days to get to its full size, but I doubt it's going to get to 600% of its size. That would be. That'd be 228 millimeters, 22 centimeters tall, and this thing's only 38 millimeters. I can't see it happening.
Okay. That's quite small.
In it goes.
So what you need to do, Trev, is you need to take like 4 photos a day of this now.
Okay, that's cool.
And you need to have faith, more importantly.
Yeah.
Dick, can you imagine the amount I'm going to get forgiven now? Because I've got my own personal Jesus growing on my windowsill. Yeah.
More importantly, have you got some serious sinning planned? You know, you got to take advantage of you.
More importantly, what else have you got growing on your window, Trev?
Yeah, that's probably sinful. Wow.
Nope. So, yeah, I'm just chuffed about it.
He's really happy.
Jesus.
He's found Jesus, and he's brought him home, and he's happy. That's great news.
Yep.
So, anyway, next week you'll let us know how Jesus turned out for you, yeah?
Sure.
Great. Okay, I'm going to get some righteous indignation off you guys.
What, more?
Yeah, I want some more. I want to turn your attention to something that happened to me this week.
Oh.
Yeah. What happened was, I was on Facebook, and you know, they're talking about social networking, good or bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, it's good.
Yeah.
You know, in general, it's good. But unfortunately, you do come up against some idiocy every now and again. Now, you've got a choice.
So she's, what's her name? Was it Louise Mensch? Is that her name?
No, we can't mention his name. Remember, I had a long chat.
No, I'm talking about the MP who said last week that, you know, when riots happen, they should just shut down Twitter.
Yeah.
Shut it down. Which garbage chute? All of them!
Was this Nadine Dorries, was it?
No. Was her name Louise Mensch, is it? She was the one who criticised Murdoch, or not Piers Morgan, in the Commons.
Yeah, she was brilliant just the week before.
Yeah, it is Louise, isn't it?
Trev? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And she MP. Said about shutting down the social
she
network
said,
sites.
She said, during what riot, let's shut down Twitter.
What a dumb bin.
Which I think just goes to show people's complete lack of understanding about social networking and how it actually works.
And also, that really important thing that we love, freedom of speech as well. Oh, let's just curtail it completely.
Yeah. Well, let you know, let's not use social media to find out how our loved ones are getting on in the middle of a riot. Oh no, we can't because it's been shut down. Let's get together and band together as a community to clean up the streets. No, we can't because it's shut down.
What a dick.
Exactly.
See, that's politics for you. You're only as respected as your last fucking stupid comment.
This is true. Anyway, let me continue.
Sorry, John.
No, that's fine. I like that. No, I liked that. It was a good little interjection. So anyway, every so often you do come across some idiocy. Now, you've got to just ignore it. Or do
you
what I do, which is end up having an internet argument. Now, this happened a while ago. Remember, we did like a podcast on this.
Yeah.
There was one guy, and he wasn't happy that we did a podcast about him.
So we didn't mention his name, though, did we?
No, we protected his identity, but he still wasn't happy. He actually listened to the whole podcast, and he called you a bit of a twat and me a bit of a twat.
Yeah.
So we reached him on a deep level. So
I'm proud of that.
And I also wanted to talk about a stupidly long conversation I had with some psychics and stuff on Facebook, but it was a while ago now. It's not interesting, and they've deleted it anyway. So something else happened today. I was on my way to work, and something interesting happened on Facebook. Someone posted a silly statement, okay? Let me read you the statement, and then I'll take your reactions. This is off D. I know him in real life. He's a very nice chap, to be honest. I get on with him. But this is what he put. All these A-level students, results today, yeah, pisses me off how much support they get. Helplines for their results. What about when the tax man gets bumming me? What support do I get? Something like that. Now, I saw that and I was like, I think he means it. And as I said, I get on with him, but, you know, he's not a bleeding heart liberal like those guys, you know. He's So I thought, well, I'm not going to just have a go at him. I will just answer in humour. I will kind of, you know, give a bit of sarcasm. So I just answered with, yeah, fuck the children of the future. Who'll be paying the taxes to keep us in state pensions and free healthcare? So, you know, just pointing out that, you know, yeah, let's help the kids out a bit here. You don't hear from D again. He doesn't answer. Maybe he's clever enough not to answer, because he knows probably what happened last time. It's the last sap who argued with us. So then another guy appears, S. Now, quickly, backstory on S. I know him in real life.
Yeah. Okay?
Haven't seen him for a while. He's an all right guy. Never really had a problem with him in real life. However, I defriended him on Facebook a while back because he's being bigoted, terrible. It was around the time of when there was either the protests by Muslims at the soldiers' funerals.
Well, no, was it the poppy burning ones, was it?
Or it was the poppy burning one. It's one of the two, because there was two events. One
right, okay.
But there was some real bigoted stuff from there. It wasn't just like, oh, you know, why can't they be more respectful? So he turns around. So he turns up now on this thread, because he's obviously still friends with D, and says, there's no jobs for them anyway. You get through life with hard graph, not paperwork results. Graph as in, like, a drawing graph.
the harder ones.
Yeah.
But they do help, yeah.
So apparently,
the harder the better.
So he's kind of saying, like, you just need to work hard. So, well, this is just a bit of a waste of time, all this education business and, you know, universities and that. So I replied, and I'll read this for one. So again, trying not to get into an argument, I just tried to answer with sarcasm and humour again, okay? So I just put, education's pointless. Who needs to learn the difference between graph and graft anyway? I'm going to go and see my neuroscientist friend tonight and tell him he wasted all his time getting those pieces of paper. He should have just worked hard by cracking people's skulls open and staring at their synapses. It would save us taxpayers a fortune if young people stopped wanting to be doctors, physicists, and engineers. Okay, so that is dripping with sarcasm. Would you pick up on that, Steve?
I think I might, yes.
Okay, fine. So here we go. We continue with S. Normal working class people made this country what it is. It's the people driving up the national debt by borrowing money on education they'll never need. It's what's adding to our problems. I worked my ass off in the army and then became a fireman. So don't tell me I need paperwork to get on with life experience, blah, blah, blah. Got a house, nice car, loads of money just by working hard. My mates with A-levels are living at home, taking the bus down to McDonald's to work. Okay, I'll just highlight in that the fact that apparently national debt is because of these fucking students taking out loans to go and get an education. Those fucking bastards.
So the distinction between national debt and personal debt is nothing to him.
Wasted on some people, apparently.
On him, obviously.
Yeah.
Oh, bless.
So I just said, well, hasty generalisation followed by an appeal to personal anecdote. I really do think they need to introduce critical thinking school into schools. And then I put, it's out of step, but, and then I quickly followed up with, and as for your assertion that national debt is caused by people borrowing money to go to university, I wonder from which cavity this was extracted. The amount of money borrowed as part of efforts to revive industry, bail out greedy banks, and the non-payment of taxes by multinational organisations dwarfs any exposure to the cost of higher education. Perhaps your anger towards about national debt would be better aimed at the poor government, at poor government, rather than people who aspire to be something other than firemen. I don't know. I think he didn't like that. So
yeah, well, you got to be careful as well. Don't make it sound like you're disparaging firemen.
No, I just
because,
said... No,
because then when your house is on fire...
No,
they all come around and say, oh, I remember you.
Crack open the marshmallows.
No, I just said people that aspire to be something other than firemen, as in, you know, I want to be a scientist or something.
It could be construed as being a little
bit. Well, I would correct it. If someone said that, I would correct myself and say, I'm sorry you misunderstood. I believe that firemen is an excellent vocation. But it's just me and him, okay?
Yeah.
But yeah, if you were all firemen, that'd be a bit rubbish.
So now he's playing on this army fireman thing that he's done, okay? And I will vouch for him. He has been in the army and he has been a fireman.
Well done.
Here we go. Yeah, well done. But let's not milk it too much, yeah? Here we go. Do something for your country, then earn the right to have an opinion. It's always the same from people like you, full of hot air and fuck all to show for it. So, okay, he's now ticking me off now. I'm just trying to say, look, maybe what you said wasn't like... This is a bit of a generalization saying that all pieces of paper are worthless and that education's worthless. Maybe you just made a generalization. Maybe you might just want to say, all right, maybe, you know, I don't believe that. No, no, he's trying to stick to his guns now. So I just said, I'm sorry you feel my private sector work is of little value, but thinking about it, and then I just tried to make the point that I'm older than him, I've been working longer, so there's a chance that I probably paid more taxes than him. And unless you're insinuating that only people who have worked in the forces or for fire departments are doing something for their country. So I'm baiting him now, I admit that, okay? So now it's, by working for the military, I have contributed towards the country. And by working as a firefighter, I do so for my community. Then he's basically said, unless I earned 40K plus last year, I haven't earned more, I haven't paid more tax than him. I was saying, okay. So then I just highlighted, I said, your definition of doing things for your country is a highly arbitrary and serves only for you to make a point. It also devalues the contributions of doctors, nurses, teachers, construction workers, infrastructure engineers who work tirelessly to keep the country going. Because they're important. Yeah, they're important too. You know, continued health and function of the country. You seem to have glossed over all of the points I've made, so you can talk about yourself. Because he did talk about himself a lot. And then he admits at the end that he glossed over everything I said, because apparently I'm a tosser who likes to argue with people. Which is true. Which is true.
Yeah.
But I don't see how... I don't see how that makes any difference. He didn't answer any of my points.
No, no, that's the one point.
Yeah. Well done, I'm a tosser. But should I tell you something, mate? You're a tosser as well. Because I pointed out why you're a tosser, and it's valid. Okay, you made a generalization, which is not true. And yet, you're too proud, being a firefighter and a fucking ex-army boy, to admit that maybe you're wrong and you shouldn't be spouting all sorts of ignorance all over the shop. So... there you go. I've said my bit, and I will post the link on the bottom of the thread so we can listen to the podcast. Congratulations, you're famous.
And the photo accompanying this week's podcast will be of John's black eye after that guy catches up.
Fine. Nice one, S. Yeah, go on, yeah, Trev.
It sounds like he was espousing one of the arguments that I hate most in all the world, where they say, well, you're just not working hard enough. If you're not rich, basically, you're not working hard enough, and you're a lazy layabout. And he also was having a go at qualifications. Well, there are shed loads of people working shifts in factories who work bloody hard and get sod all. And by his ethics, those people are supposed to be doing really well and tax evading. Sorry, tax avoiding.
I would like to point in there as well, Trev, is those people who are working damn hard in that factory are proportionally paying the same amount of tax as he is. Because, you know, as a firefighter, I don't believe he's over the threshold for tax, so as a proportion of his wage, he's paying the same as those people. So their contribution is equally valid as his contribution.
Yeah, but they didn't work on the front lines. That was what he wanted to go with. And when I mentioned doctors, nurses, all these other people that keep the country running, he gave respect to doctors and nurses because he remembered when he was in the army, he saw them on the front lines. But all the rest of them, you know, you shouldn't have an opinion.
So, you know, all the logistic people in the army then, yeah, you know, who make sure that he gets fed, and the quartermasters who make sure he gets clothed and booted and gets the ammunition.
Oh, well, no, they're okay because they helped him. They helped him.
But they weren't on the front line. They were back at home signing orders and, you know, placing orders for him to be fed, watered and clothed.
What about people like me? What about people like me who work, pay taxes, and that money funds? Remember, we've got the third largest defence budget in the world. $100 billion is the equivalent of $100 billion US dollars, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That has to come from somewhere. Taxpayers, me, I work in the private sector. You work in the private sector, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that, you know, that your work...
I know my place.
Yeah, well, we won't talk about you. But do you think that, you know, all that work, you know, putting money into the defence budget, do you think you're worthless now?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
I feel a complete cunt, to be honest. You know, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go and sign up for the army tomorrow, okay? Just so I can go and fight in a war somewhere, probably over some oil or something. And then I can go up to him and say, right, okay, now I've fought, I've got an opinion. And my opinion is, shut the fuck up. What a load of bollocks. Look, if somebody...
I'm sorry, John. I got to say to you, though, 4F.
Right.
It ain't happening, is it?
The rule is, okay, if you don't like people calling you on stupid stuff, don't say stupid stuff. I mean, it's not hard, is it?
Well, you say that, John, but you haven't reached the end of the podcast yet.
Yeah, but it's entertainment.
You have some fool.
Okay.
But you don't mind being called on crazy shit. So.
Right, Trev.
Yeah.
You've got no everything's gone to pot. There's no jingle, so it's Catholic story time.
Have you got one?
Great.
Do you have a Catholic story?
Oh, yeah.
Story? Yes.
Oh, yeah, here we go. I was going to do one about the Dublin Archdiocese is on the brink of financial collapse due to abuse payouts. Oh, poor Dublin Archdiocese. They might have to go into debt for a considerable period because there's no money anywhere in the Catholic Church. Lying bastard. There's another one giving advice to homilists, as they call it. That's apparently nothing dirty. That's just when priests are talking. And it says, preachers sometimes forget the value of silence as a tool in teaching God's word. I can only agree with that. But no, the real story is the review of Glee, the 3D concert.
Oh, we've got
movie.
A Catholic review. Brilliant. Okay.
Oh, excellent.
Or they don't like it. Oh, they don't like it.
Because it's gayers in Glee, isn't it?
Here's a couple of selections. they talk about Gleeks. And they say, for Gleeks, we learn, Glee is their religion. A politically correct gospel of universal acceptance. Anyone can be a Gleek, regardless of race, gender, disability, or sexual orientation. No one is a loser. Everyone wins and takes center stage in life. But the inclusion of homosexuality among the categories by which teens are to be both defined and affirmed blurs the line between upholding the dignity of the individual and recognizing that certain sexual behavior must be rejected as immoral, since, by its very nature, it detracts from the fullness of that same dignity. That's a long sentence for saying, I'm a bit homophobic.
Wow. And they start off so well. They were talking about Glee. It's inclusive. Doesn't matter what sex, gender, sexuality you are. I was like, hey, this sounds awesome. But then they said, but they let those filthy homos in and we don't like it.
That's right. So the classification is O for morally offensive.
What are the classifications again? Is it it's okay and O for morally offensive?
Yeah, they're both O, so it's very tricky. O for okay and O for morally offensive.
Have you been able to find out what the Catholic review for the latest series of Torchwood is yet? That is going to be so awesome. It'll make your head explode, the review. Well, no, the reviewer's head will explode. No, it's like the funniest joke in the world. Do you remember that? The sketch. No Catholic is able to actually watch Torchwood and then report on what it's about because they all, you know, their heads explode. Well, cool. Okay. Well, we'll call it an evening. Sorry for any live listeners if you're still there, if you still hear us. We had problems again. I'm going to go and kick someone's ass. But join us again next week when hopefully there'll be some more unwashed masses. Hopefully there'll be no technical difficulties, but all the good stuff, that funny stuff that Trev sometimes does, it'll still be there. It'll still be there. It'll be great. So thanks so much.
Go ahead and damn me with faint praise. I enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, you know, if, now that you're a comedian, a professional comedian, I think you need to start delivering a lot more, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, I'll be professional as soon as I get paying gigs. That'll
be great. Okay. All right. Well, hang on. If you're on BBC Radio Wales, when is that? On Monday? Bank holiday Monday?
I don't know.
If you want to listen out for Trev, can you remember what the show's called, or am I going to have to put this on the blog?
It's going to be, you can find it through the Pythagoras Trousers podcast, and it was called Pythagoras Club.
Excellent.
And I don't know how much of my set's going to be on there. It'll have to be edited down quite a lot, and there were lots of running gags in it, so it might be utterly incoherent.
Hmm. Also, I mean, I don't know what time it goes out,
but
after
fun.
The watershed, okay. I'm hoping, with your material.
There was very little swearing.
Yeah, but...
I've got to be fair, I did have a bit of a rant against religion. In the first half, full room. In the second half, there were three sections. The first section, the full room. In the second section, there was a full room, and I went on at the end of that section. And then, by the third section, the whole front row had gone. And they were looking at me a bit funny when I was ranting about religion. I'm a little bit worried I may have deeply offended some.
Did you forget to do your trousers out when you came back out, Trev?
Yeah, that's the rookie mistake, is leaving your flies undone and your cock out now. See, I've done that before. It's just shocking.
They won't let you get away with it, Trev.
Okay. Well, anyway, thanks very much, Trev, and we'll look forward to listening to that. And to all of our listeners, we will catch you next week. Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.